Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you whisper.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed. Let's get started here. Tonight, we have two special guests with us. Sarah Gam and Kevin L. Brown are in the house. Welcome to the show.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Have you ever sat back and wondered, how on earth did I meet this person? And sometimes our paths cross in such a way where you just know that at one point in time, you have met this person before. And this is exactly the case with my guests this evening, Sarah Gam and Kevin Brown. Sarah became an astrophysicist in 2006 and has an MS in countering weapons of mass destruction. Her science path led her directly face to face with energy that cannot be observed, especially in the spirit world. Sarah's entire life has consisted of ghost, spirit, and angel experiences. She was raised fourth generation on a family farm in rural Missouri, fell in love with the stars at age 8, and after a near-death experience in 2012, her spirit experiences increased. Her science path led her directly face to face with the spirit world, and as she developed her abilities, she found her purpose, which was an ease of connecting the unobserved energies to many of the mysteries we talk about today. Since 2020, she has been providing healing messages as a psychic medium for clients through divine energy, as well as just been certified as a Reiki master. Now let's turn the table a little bit here to my second guest, Kevin L. Brown. Kevin enjoyed a 28-year career in the Army and a 10-year career in government contracting. For the last 2 years before he retired from the government, he was on the government UAP task force. After having several paranormal experiences, especially when a spirit followed him back to his hotel from the Stanley Hotel, he developed a passion for understanding and experiencing the supernatural and spirit world. Kevin now spends his time doing a lot of ghost hunting and researching, as well as fishing. We had a lot to talk about this evening with both of these guests, both very interesting in and of themselves. So please sit back and enjoy this show with my guests this evening, Sarah Gam and Kevin L. Brown. Well, thank you so much, Sarah and Kevin, for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here. No problem. If this is the first time in a long time that I have had the dynamic duo on my show here. And the only time I had one more, which was the Charlie's Angels, as I called them, which were Squatchers, was quite a while ago. And so this is kind of a refreshing moment for everybody to be able to have two people rather than one. But again, this is going to be a really interesting show tonight, just based on the background of these two individuals. So all right, so we're going to get started because obviously we've got two for one tonight. So here we go. So the first thing I want both of you to think about
is we always do the foundation first. People do like it. They like to hear about your stories and how you evolved. I want you to go back to a time when probably the earliest age you can think of, when you experienced something that seemed a little bit, I would say not abnormal, but unusual. And you experienced this, and then put it in the context for us as to what you experienced. I think we'll start today with Sarah. Why don't we go ahead and start with you?
Okay, thank you. And thanks again for having me. I appreciate your time and everybody else's time watching. So my earliest moment, I mean, that starts when I was little. I was always very interested in ghost stuff, cryptids, you know, vampires, Bigfoot, like anything you name it, anything, you know, considered scary or woo-woo, I was in heaven and I was immersed in it. So my first encounter, though, that I had of a spirit, we'll call him a ghost, although I knew who he was. So I was in middle school, probably around 12 years old. And my best friend, her family moved into a house that I grew up going to. So it was my best friend, or my grandpa's best friend. And my grandpa actually found him. Unfortunately, he passed away in his sleep. Okay. Her bedroom ended up being, his name was Victor or Vic. It was his bedroom. And we were young and I'm going to call it dumb. And we loved playing with the Ouija board. So that, yep. So lessons have been learned. Thankfully, we came out happy children from all of our encounters with the board, but I won't touch it ever again. And, but yeah, so things would happen and things would happen often where doors would open, doors would shake. We would blame her sister trying to get in the bedroom and her sister's out in the yard and not even there. A shower would turn on while we're washing our hands at the sink. And then eventually it got to a point where her mom actually told me, nothing happens in this house unless you're here, Sarah. So I knew it was Vic. I knew it was him. We went rollerblading one day and I was being lazy and put my rollerblades on inside the house. And I have gravity issues. So I was stumbling, trying to get out of the house. And the front door, you had to turn the handle and then kind of push. Like it wasn't just you turned and it opened. You had to put a little bit of energy behind it. And as I'm stumbling, the door handle, I saw it turn and then you could like, and it pushed open. And I just went, oh, thanks, Vic. I appreciate it. Cause I was getting ready to put a shoulder through that glass door, or there was a glass panel at the top of it. Yeah. So I just said, oh, thanks, Vic. So I'd eventually, you know, tell him that there's no need to stay and grandpa's fine. And his wife had already passed away. And so I have no idea. I was young. I'm hopeful he's not still local and not in the house anymore, but that was my first encounter. And I've loved it. My first time actually seeing a ghost was, I think I was about 18 or 19 years old. And that was at a cemetery, like a Civil War soldier. So things have progressed over the years since then.
Interesting. And back then, I don't know if you moved, but where did you live in a state? What state did you live in?
Oh, good question. I am from Missouri, about 80 miles north of St. Louis.
Okay. And when you saw this Civil War person in, did you say a cemetery? Was that in Missouri?
Yep. Yeah, that was an encounter. There was a few of us. We had actually been, I call it like ghost hunting type thing for the whole day. So there's this haunted house that's well known for being haunted. And it has the basement, like from the Blair Witch Project movie, how it was just like kind of a hole and you walk down some steps and nothing fancy to it. So it was a basement like that in this house. And we actually, a few of us knew people that had lived in it. So we went to them. It was a guy's grandpa. And we went and heard stories, like firsthand stories of, you know, snakes appearing in a sink, watching people walk down a road and all kinds of scary stories. And so we decided to go to the house. The basement was flooded in, so we couldn't walk down it. And so then we were like, well, what next? Let's go to this haunted, well-known as a haunted cemetery. There's a Civil War marker on the side of the hill. It's in the middle of nowhere and gravel roads as far as the eye could see type thing. And there was four of us total, one guy, three girls, and we're all making jokes like people die to get in here. And All of us stopped at the same time, screamed, started running down the hill, jumped in the car, peeled out, took off. We're all still pretty freaked out in the car. And then we eventually stop and ask to compare notes on what we saw. And we finished each other's sentence. And it was like a Civil War soldier, still had the hat on, gun with the, I'm not good with words, with the...
like a bayonet. A rifle?
Yeah. Yes, rifle with the bayonet on it. And he was coming aggressively, like diagonal towards us. Mm-hmm. But this was like a full moon night, end of July in Missouri. So it's humid. I still remember it was freezing cold at the bottom of that hill when we got back in the car. And so we all saw the same thing. And I've been back once since. And that was probably about 3 or 4 years later. The guy and I decided to go back. And it wasn't as late at night. It was probably like 8 p.m. or something. And the cemetery is closed after hours. So, the deputies patrol the area a little bit, which my friend that I was with used to be a cop, or maybe he was at the time. I don't know. So we were safe to be there. And two dogs, two big yellow labs, followed us around that cemetery. And then a cop ended up showing up while we got to the base of the hill, and we were talking to him about some of like the haunted stories that were about there. And he had never seen those dogs there before. And I felt like it was animals from like The Omen, how they would follow you around from the scary movies. It was, they never came close enough to us to let us touch them. They never made a sound. They stayed just enough far away to where they follow. It was so bizarre.
Do you think those were ghost dogs?
I think they were. They were very physically present, but they also, like, we never could touch them. A lot of farm dogs in the area, they're out working dogs, so they tend to smell like cow manure or something, and never could smell them. No, nothing. They just always, and then when we left, they stayed inside the property of the cemetery.
Interesting.
So crazy.
Well, we're going to talk more about that and more going into the Kevin, you're up now. Kevin, I want you to think back to when you had perhaps the first intriguing experience of some sort.
Well, yeah, thank you for having me on here. And I have to say, for me to think back that far is a hell of a lot for longer than Sarah, but I'll try. But actually, as a kid, I tried to get that out of my mind, because I'm one of those kids that was afraid to look under my bed. Mm-hmm. Every time I looked in the closet, I saw a form. Whether it was there or not, I have no idea. But it scared the bejesus out of me, and I hated, but I'd always like look anyway. I hated to look, but I had to look, and I wouldn't close the closet door. So I had that interest, but it scared me. So I put it out of my mind. So I became pretty much a skeptic until my grandmother died. And then when she died, I knew, I had no doubt, still have no doubt that she was looking over me. But that didn't really lead me into the paranormal. It's just that I knew that she was there and she's still there. We had a really close relationship. So like I said, I had no doubt that she's there with me.
Was it more of a feeling? Sometimes when people say I can sense somebody around me, or I feel somebody's trying to tell me something, whatever, there's some kind of a feeling that I know I had gotten. Is that what you're referring to, is some kind of a feeling, but you just knew it was her and not anybody else?
Exactly. Yeah, it was a feeling, because she's probably the closest person I've ever been, been with both my grandparents, but really more her. So I really had no doubt, and have no doubt, that she's there watching over me.
Yeah. How old was she when she passed? Do you remember?
She was in her 90s.
Oh, wow.
She was like 93. And I actually got to... this was just before the second Gulf War, and I was actually deployed, because she was really, they knew that how close I was, they actually let me come home, and I spent 2 days in the hospital with her, and she was pretty much out, but I'd sit there and wait, and every time she'd wake up and smile, and we'd talk and she'd go back to sleep. But that's what all I did for those 2 days was sit there with her. And actually she, after I left, she was starting to get a little bit better, but and they transferred her, and that's when she passed. So it was just before the war started. So yeah, and I knew that she was with me. I had no doubt. Mm-hmm. But I was always like a quasi skeptic, and honestly, I still am, because when I watch shows or someone tells me something, I'm like, try to look. Even when I do ghost hunts and that, I try to look for explanations. But the one thing that tipped me over the bridge was going to the Stanley Hotel. Oh. We did a ghost tour there. And I was pretty much in for it because I've done ghost hunts before, ghost tours, and I'm in it for the history. Love history. Love it, love it, love it. So we're going through, and they're telling us, we're going through the entire hotel, and they're telling us, you know, the stories Jim Carrey ran away from when he was filming Dumb and Dumber, and never stayed in the hotel again. Stephen King got his inspiration there, saw stuff there. And I said, oh, that's fine, that's good. When we went into one room there, a little room, and everyone got in there, they turned off the lights and everything. They said, this is where a little girl, 12 years old, her name is Katie. She died here in the hotel in 1972. And she usually like plays with the door, opens it, slams it or whatever. So we'll wait. And I'm just thinking, okay, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, Katie, if you're here, do anything you want to show me that you're actually here. I want to know, tap me, touch me, do whatever you want. And then I just kind of let it go. Nothing happened. Afterwards, we went back to our, the vacation rental that we had, and go to bed that night. And in the middle of the night, something grabbed my toes and grabbed it hard enough to wake me up. And I thought it was my wife like snuggling and putting her, clamping her toes over my toes, because I'm not thinking anything about anything else. And, wake up the next morning. I said, oh, so cute. Your toes clamped over mine. And she's like, silly, I couldn't do that. My toe, and, you know, her toes are only like, there's no way that could happen. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Cause I have no doubt that, something woke me up. I mean, something clamped, and it was, but I didn't think ghosts. I didn't think anything. I just like wondering what happened. So we go downstairs, and my, one of our relatives is down there, and his name's Arlen. And the daughter-in-law says, Arlen, tell Kevin your story. What happened? He said, well, one of those ghosts followed me home and grabbed my ankle last night. I go, huh, interesting story. I said, then I told him what happened to me. So then it's like, huh, game on. So we go to bed that night. And the night before, I noticed that the closet door or closet light was on. It's a fluorescent light. There's two sections to it. One was on, one was off. And I remember getting up in the middle of the night and trying to turn it off. And I couldn't find the switch, and I was jiggling the light, and I was like, huh, that's weird. But when I got up that morning, it was off. So that night I thought about that, and I looked at it, and no lights on in the closet. And I'm thinking, okay. So I go to bed, and I wake up once, and the light was on. I'm starting to think I'm going to have a visitor, because they use light as a source of energy. So I think, oh, okay. I was so excited, I fell back asleep. And then probably half hour later, I don't know, something under the blanket slapped my foot. I mean, slapped it hard, enough to where I woke up. And I'm like, holy crap, she's back. And the light's still on. I get up, and I'm a little bit nervous this time. Then I go over and I check the lights, nothing. And I go back to bed, and it took me a while to go back to bed. I wasn't really afraid. I was just like, wow, this is crazy. I didn't feel like I was in danger or anything. It just felt like someone was messing with me.
Mm-hmm. I met, indirectly met at a conference, Sarah and Kevin, and they had another gentleman with them by the name of Logan, kind of part of their team. But Sarah, one of the things that interested me about your, part of your story too, was that, did you have a near-death experience? And is this when your abilities actually began to like really awaken, or were they already awake?
Yeah, good question. This is going to be more than a yes or no answer. Mm-hmm. So I've always had abilities my whole life. They just were a little bit more dormant, or I was scared of them because, you know, growing up, you're told to that, you know, ghosts aren't real and all of that kind of stuff. So I started having a grandmother I was very close with passed away when I was young, and about the age of 14, I think, I don't remember how old I was when she passed, but it was also middle school, along the lines when I was having those ghost experiences. So when I was 14, I started having vivid dreams of her. So dreams that it's like us talking right now, like a core memory, and she would come to me when I needed her, when I needed some advice. She's helped me at difficult times in my life, reminding me after a heartbreak that I'd be okay. And eventually I started having more people in those dreams, more loved ones, ones that weren't relatives, but I was really close with growing up. But then I had my near-death experience that was in 2012. So I'll have my 11-year anniversary in a month. Mm-hmm. And after that, things definitely accelerated, and it could be because I was more open to it. So I did have, you know, a heaven experience. I had, you know, I knew things that the doctor said that no one ever still hasn't told me. And I just, yeah, I just had a knowing because I heard it, and I was out of my body when I heard it. So yeah, things definitely accelerated and got more pronounced. I started having more psychic visions, but the psychic visions were for myself, like of an injury I was going to get, a car accident of a family member. So little things started happening, and that just got accelerated to the point where it was really freaking me out. Mm-hmm. And I have a science background. I'm an astrophysicist. So, and I grew up religious. So all of these things combined were imploding my brain. So I went and got help, and yeah, started training soon after that.
Mm-hmm. And so, Sarah, would you refer to yourself as a psychic medium, or where would you classify yourself?
Psychic medium. Yeah. So that's officially what my title is, but I also, you know, intuition, I connect with angels really easily. So I'm an angel communicator as well. A handful of other things I'm certified in, and other classes I'm going to start in a few weeks as well.
Mm-hmm. So you've been kind of honing yourself throughout this time. And do you feel like as you've been more trained in what you're doing, or have had that there's something that, like when I talk to a lot of psychic mediums or psychics in general, and I have, and of course it's all par for the course here, but some report that they sometimes can pick up their messages in scenes. Some pick up colors, some pick things up around people and all kinds of things. And so is there one thing that you hone in on, or that how you interpret messages for other people? Is it primarily crossed over loved ones, or is it also, and again, maybe I should have you explain to people the difference between a psychic medium or a medium and a psychic? Are you able to make that division there?
Yeah. So psychic visions are future. You usually connect with spirit guides or angels for that. And mediums connect with loved ones. Not everybody does both. And I do both. I use all of my senses. I when my energy blends really well with spirit. So spirit meaning a loved one, a spirit guide, angels. So somebody that has crossed over on the other side, when my energy has blended with them, I heat up. Mm-hmm. I get really hot. I might start sweating. I also tend to cry because I feel their love. So I use my emotions. They use all of my clairs. I hear, I taste, I smell. I see visions. So sometimes it's kind of like a puzzle, putting puzzle pieces together. So I'll have to work with the client and be like, okay, what's a string of pearls mean? Like, pearls mean like elegance to me, but they might actually mean something like it might be a missing, you know, heirloom, a family heirloom for you. So we talk through the puzzle pieces and connect them. And sometimes we don't need the puzzle at all because spirit will just be like that blatant. Mm-hmm. But I will take on symptoms of how they passed away. I have had heart attack symptoms, IBS, aneurysm. I have been in war when I've had an arm blown off and leg blown off. And I've actually like first person see this, or when I passed, like when the person passed away in the hotel. Jeez, y'all are talking about the hotel, the hospital. And yeah, so I use all of my clairs, and I have no idea when I jump into a reading what it's going to entail until like usually about an hour beforehand. I'll start taking on some symptoms, and like if I start having stomach issues just randomly out of the blue, I'm like, okay, that's spirit. All right, I got it. Can you guys like get off of this a little? Like, I could just write this down. You don't have to make me experience it. So it's been a really interesting ride. I still learn all the time. Things happen new. I've talked to people alive that were in comas. I've helped loved ones make the decision to cut off the life support and everybody be at peace with that decision. I have talked to animals. Most of them have passed over. I'm not the best with communicating with animals that are alive. I'm working on my two cats. So, so I have talked to alive people before as well, which is also mind blowing. So incredible. You could do this with no tools, just with your body.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I find it very fascinating because I know that just with the number of people I've dealt with, and then there are periods where I'm on and off, that kind of thing. But I would say that I'm not as gifted or as strong as, or my abilities are as strong. They come and go for me and I can't always, but when they're on, they're usually right on target. So Kevin, so throughout your years, after you've had some of these experiences and everything like that, I presume your interest might have started to grow in this, but explain to people what you have done, if you don't mind, a little bit for what you have done for most of your years, and then how you're making a connection between that element of work or used to be, and then what you do now.
Well, actually, I think it really started working because I worked with Logan and Sarah as well. We were on the UAP task force working with. I can say a little bit more about that because I'm retired now. But I worked closely with Logan for 2 years, and he was really. I mean, the guy's knowledge on UAPs is beyond scope. I mean, it's just crazy. So I learned a lot about that, and he found out about my passion about the spirit world after the Stanley, and then kind of loosening up and having, you know, a couple more experiences. So we discussed going into this together, me being on the West Coast, he's on the East Coast. So like we say, I'm Phenom West, and mm-hmm. I'll do more of the spiritual work. I've done a couple of hotels. I just did a house a couple of days ago. So it's like growing. I mean, faster than I thought it would. I work with a lady in Ilwaco, which is right down the road from us, and we're going to do ghost hunts and that. And I'm so passionate about this. The money part isn't really, I don't even care. I really don't. I guess it helps that I'm retired, but I do this stuff for free, the ghost hunts and stuff. And of course I work with Sarah, and honestly, those are our best ghost hunts because she doesn't even have to be there. We've done, you know, my sister's place in Tombstone, Arizona. We did the Shelburne Hotel, which is here, and that was incredible because Sarah had no not because I don't tell her anything. I just say, hey, we're going here. And she gets it. I mean, it's awesome. So when I can work with her, it's really good. But yeah, my passion has grown exponentially.
So as part of your passion, and I know that for the longest time, just as my husband as an illustration here, you know, he's had some experiences and he has had more with me. Have you found that your intuition or your abilities to pick up on things is greater when you're with certain energies of individuals, or whether or not you need that at all in order? So you mentioned you had gone into it, had done a house investigation just a few days ago. Right. Do you go in as a team, or can you just literally go in as yourself? What do you find works for you?
I never know. I'm not trained in this like Sarah is, as far as what my feelings are. I just have to be comfortable. If I go in there and I'm comfortable and I know, then it comes. I did the house, and we went in there a couple of days before, just kind of map out where I want to go and talk to the homeowner and that. And my wife will come with me, and she films and kind of backs me up. But I think it's just after I get comfortable, which is with most things that I do. Once I'm comfortable, I get going. And that's what it was. We were like not really finding anything, and we just sat and talked for a little bit. And then I just got really comfortable with myself, and I just went into the back room there by myself, no filming, no nothing. And I got all kinds of stuff. It's just my comfortability and my confidence. I just have to have that to get. And then sometimes, like Sarah will tell me, Kevin, make sure no one follows you home. I have that problem. I get hitchhikers, and I had one from the Shelburne Hotel, and that now my wife is constantly telling me, make sure. And I did this last time, so I had no hitchhikers, so she'll be proud of me.
Can either of you recommend what you would do to try to at least, I mean, I've tried the don't come with me, stay where you are, and I'll tell you, it doesn't always work. So either of you, both of you, chime in and tell us what you might suggest.
Well, I got to tell you, this is Sarah's expertise. She's been teaching me this. I just go back there and say, okay, by the way, you are not allowed to come home with me. You stay here. This is your house. My house is mine. And I will tell you that Archangel Michael is going to protect me. And Sarah can tell a little bit more on that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good job, Kev. You're learning. Lessons have been learned. My first thing is Archangel Michael is God's protector, whether you believe in God or source or some sort of higher power. Archangel Michael is an amazing person to ask for help, and he will help you when you ask, but you have to ask. And I always will say, Archangel Michael, please protect my house and my property. I specifically also say property. Nothing is allowed here but love and light, and boot everything else. So I say that almost every night, just in case something sneaks in. And I mean, it's energy, so barriers are always going to die down or die away. But the first thing is, we are more powerful than anything that is on the other side. Yes, other stuff can be powerful, but we allow them to come in with us. So you have to truly, truly 100% without a doubt, when you say, you're not allowed to come home with me, that has to be said with confidence, because they'll know if there's a little part of you that wants them with them, that you want them to come home with you. They'll sense that 1% of curiosity that you might have, like, but what happens if something comes? And they'll still come. So like, that might be one of those cases, you know, when you're joking, like, oh no, stay there. But also, you could maybe like shut a door or something in my house later. So when that happens, Archangel Michael, give it the boot, but also boundaries. Like, they have to listen to boundaries. Salt helps. I do sprinkle some salt at, you know, doorways and stuff once in a while. Staging really helps. And if you don't like smoke, there's a sage spray. So there's all a handful of tools. I usually do have crystals in my pockets and pretty much anywhere I could stuff crystals on, like a house clearing, I will have them with me. My science brain, do I really believe crystals work? Science brain says no, but spiritual brain says, heck yeah, girl, they really do. Mm-hmm. So there's a handful of things and bubbles, like imagine a light bubble around you that bubble is from source. It's from whatever higher power you believe in. It is God's love and light. And so when you imagine a bubble of light around you, think about it repelling. So if something tries to psychically attack you, it's going to get bounced off. So you could bubble your car while you're driving, you could bubble your pets and loved ones. So that's another way too.
Explain to people again what you do and then all this energy that you're kind of, you know, you're into, because obviously you've got the gift and everything, but how do you make those two, how do you meld those two together?
The science, like my day job. Yeah. So my day job, I am an image scientist. I look at satellite imagery, and I mean, my astrophysics background, I mean, I grew up loving science and math my whole life. So what I do during the day involves a lot of, you know, math and science and algorithms and that kind of stuff. But how I really started getting involved with accepting the spiritual stuff is scary stuff had to happen. And I allowed myself time to process it. My very first real meditation, it was after I was told I had abilities, and it was a guided meditation through the teacher that I ended up going to. I had shingles. I got done with grad school. I have a master's in countering weapons of mass destruction. So very gloom and doom. My days when I was working in the subject was crazy, because I was literally working on nuclear weapon counterproliferation for it. And then my nights I was doing spirit work. So I was getting like gloom and doom and love and light. And it was such an interesting combo. But I feel like I do process the spiritual aspect of stuff differently. And my friends, I get good feedback because I will describe them something first from the scientific aspect, because, like, you know, everything is energy. Energy is in the pen. Energy is, you know, everything. Physics is in your cell phone. And matter can't be created or destroyed. So when spirit, I have a best friend that has crossed over, that has transitioned home, and he'll make stuff disappear out of my house once in a while and start playing pranks. And I'm like, Jimmy, bring it back. And I will find a tube of mascara and a tennis shoe on a different level of the house. So the energy is still there, but somewhere else, or the matter, like the object. And so I do approach a lot of spiritual stuff from a scientific aspect. Spoon bending is, you know, one way to learn how to bend spoons is you hold on to it for a while. And, you know, my teacher would have said, you know, a lot of beautiful spiritual words on how you're bending the spoon. And I'm just looking at it like, oh, you're just warming up the molecules. Like, this is physics. Like, the foundation of bending a spoon is just physics. So, so it's really neat that I do have a healthy skepticism, and I'm able to also share the physics aspect or the spirit, you know, from even there's a theory in astronomy that there is infinite amount of universes, and they're parallel universes. And that's the same for the spiritual side. So like the two actually overlap a little bit, which is, I love when my worlds really do combine.
Kevin, for you, what's been the most interesting, scariest kind of experience where you might have said to yourself, what did I do to myself? How did I get myself into this? Because and then in a minute, I'm going to find out how you all came together as a group. So Kevin, we'll start with you here on that question.
Well, honestly, I've been pretty lucky. I haven't been afraid yet. I mean, I found out, we were going through the house the other day, and my wife was a little nervous, and I'm like, you know, why? And that's why I went back and just did it myself. I went literally right into the closet, which I would have never done if I was a kid. Is that smart? Probably not. I don't know, but I still felt that I was in control. So I haven't been afraid yet. Even when I got grabbed for the first time, I was never afraid. I was a little nervous because I knew it was going to happen again the next night. But I am more amazed than I am afraid. I've been lucky. I haven't found it or seen anything evil. I'm sure that's down the road. But yeah, I honestly, I haven't been afraid. I've been a little nervous, but not scared at all. I just like to charge in. And when I do the recording, I'm thinking if I ask a spirit and they answer me back on the tape recorder, then it might make me a little bit nervous. You watch it on TV and that's, you know, that's cool. But when you have the person talk back to you, it's a little different. And which did happen, not on the recorder, it happened on Necrophonics. I don't know if you know what that is. It goes through the frequencies and picks up voices and that, and it'll actually translate some of the voices. And I went back into that closet and I was asking questions, who's here, blah, blah, blah. And it came back, I used to live here. I used to live here. I said, oh, who used to live here? And it had Z, just the letter Z. And I'm like, And just about 10 minutes before I came on here, I looked up the past history of the house, and a Robert Zimmerman used to live there back, you know, and he, I think, yeah, in 1979 or something like that. And I'm like, whoa, you know. But like I said, even when I got followed home the last time, which Sarah got very mad at me about, but I was leaning back like this and I felt something going down my, my rib cage. And I thought it was a cat jumping up, and I'm like, no, no cat. So I just did a lot of stuff like the thermal imaging and stuff. And I had no doubt that something did follow me home, because that side would get cold and I would, you know, do the thermal imaging where my wife was sitting, where I was sitting, and it was colder in this spot. And so I had no doubt. I wasn't scared. I just felt it was like, again, it was one of the children that came home with me, and they were playing with me. And so I don't know if that's positivity that I'm trying to look at, or, you know, if I do, I can feel it, because I knew that was a little girl from the Stanley. And just to make a long story short, it wasn't a room we went into. It was that storage room that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's where we went into. It was a storage room.
So you were right. In the storage room, or you saw that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the girl that followed me home, and again, I didn't even know it was her. I didn't think of it until later. My sister sent me a thing about Katie, that's a famous spirit that comes from, and she messes with men's feet. And I just put two and two together, and I didn't realize, sorry, Sarah, that I did invite her to go with me. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I just put two and two together. So I know it was her.
Yeah, no, that place is a mystery in and of itself. Very fascinating. Don't know if I'll be back. The rooms are kind of spendy, but you know, that's probably reason more than anything, but it was quite a time. Yeah, I had a question for both of you in my mind, and I lost it for a moment here, but I'm just trying to think in the back of my head. Kevin, one of the things that went through my mind when you were talking about not necessarily having a real scary experience yet,
right,
is right. Well, you know, I could send you to a few places where you would, but I'm just sitting here going,
is that punishment?
Yeah, pretty much. It was on me. I mean, it led me down this road to the point where I swore off ghosts for 3 years because it was so terrifying. But Sarah, have you, since you work with energy and you've had And you communicate with a lot of energies. Do you ever find yourself ever in a situation that makes you a little bit more unnerved? I guess I should ask that of you.
Yeah, definitely. But I know I'm more powerful than it. So they try to do stuff before, like I do, if I'm doing a house clearing and I just know there's going to be something bad there. They'll actually do stuff to try to scare me. I've had an entire unopened bottle of wine tip over and roll across the kitchen table before. And, you know, heavy bottle of wine getting pushed and, a few other things that would happen where I feel like I'm getting choked or something to prevent me to go do my job. Cause they know I'm coming. They know when help, I guess, is on the way. And I have encountered a good friend. All he told me was something weird's happening in my house. Because my friends know I want to go in blind and to not tell me too much. And all he said was something weird's happening here. Can you just come see what's going on? And he has a 9-year-old girl at the time. This is a couple years ago. And all I did, and he just moved in this house probably 2 weeks prior, if that. There's still boxes and stuff everywhere. And there was I'm going to call it an alien, like a lizard person. It looked like Venom from the comic books. Mm-hmm. Venom, like the teeth and then the big eyes and the scary looking lizardy skin. And the being came right at me almost immediately, right in my face, trying to scare me. And I'm like, you tried that on the wrong girl. And so I, you know, give them the boot. And, but I also see like there's emotions or energy as well. And you get a muddy pool of water in your house from your emotions. So that could actually turn into something that looks really scary as well. But yeah, I'd say most of the very first house clearing I ever did, there was something scary. I don't know how to describe it other than I'm pretty certain it came off as a female. So I'm going to say she, but it seemed like an earth elemental that broke off from being a good elemental into bad. And she fed off fear and she's been. She still lived like in the basement level of the house, which was kind of an unfinished basement. My friend was like, you don't have to go in here. And I was like, I do. Yes, I do. I'm more powerful than this. She's just trying to scare me. So I just remind myself that, even without abilities, we're still more powerful. And I know like and I approach it with confidence and they usually listen. Like sometimes it might take a couple of tries, a couple of visits, but.
So I have a question for how you guys all came together. So Logan's not with us today. I'm just curious if you're, how you found each other. And because we have one here that's in Washington and another one here that's in Virginia. And where did you say Logan lives or what state does he live in?
Virginia.
And then, so mm-hmm. How did you guys all kind of, you formed as a group? Did you form as a group? Because that was the impression I got at the conference, was that somehow you came together, but not just that, you formed some kind of a group with each other. Can one of you take that for me and explain your existence and make sense out of this for us?
Well, Sarah just contacted me from when she was in Virginia and I was in Washington psychically. But no, we were in the same group pretty much. I worked directly with Logan, but we, you know, there's like a chat server that is in the government and we're all in the same section.
Yeah.
And honestly, I talk a lot about getting ready to retire and that I fished a lot. And Sarah's like, you know what? I want to go fishing. And yeah. So, I mean, we had talked through the server, you know, the same work, you know, doing the same work, the UAP task force mm-hmm. and that. And then, like I say, Logan and I were in the same office, mm-hmm. but Sarah and I got to know each other because once she went fishing, she never went back. So yeah, we would fish just about every weekend. Mm-hmm. I think yeah. she would come out and we'd go fishing. So we just bonded really, really quick. So we've been yeah. friends. Really close friends.
And you love fishing there, Sarah. You love
Yeah, I grew up on I'm fourth generation farmer. Mm, so yeah. I love being outside and yeah. I love fishing. So he couldn't get rid of me. But yeah. I did invite myself initially. And UAP, for those that don't know, I don't think we've defined it, is unidentified aerial phenomena. And it's the new fun term for UFO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is that's another question I have before we've got just a little bit of time here yet. I do have a question about that. Okay. So, you know, everybody, I actually had a guest on a few days ago who said, you know, I really don't know if I believe in this stuff. And I'm sitting here going, my God, how many people have I talked to, including myself, having experiences where, you know, if they're skeptic and they haven't had an experience, of course, they're not going to necessarily buy into that. But this is something that you guys have done for years and years and years. So everyone's going to ask the first question. What are your thoughts on all of that?
I believe that's what I'll say. There is something out there. I will tell you that. And I will tell like a really quick story of skepticism. Strangely enough, I was out fishing and I was talking to another guy about my experiences and UAPs and spirituality and that. He says, Kevin, I just don't believe in that stuff. I said, well, to each their own. I mean, everyone, you know, there are skeptics. And he says, tell me your story. And I told him the story of the Stanley. I told him a couple others. And he's just shaking your heads. He said, sorry, I just don't believe it. And I said, okay, Jim. I don't believe that you caught two fish yesterday. He says, I did too. I caught two fish. And I said, no, I just don't believe it. And then he said, but I did. I wouldn't lie to you. And I said, neither would I.
And so, Sarah, how do you, what's your angle on all this? Have you ever seen, not that it matters, but have you ever seen a UFO? Have you experienced any of this stuff? What do you know?
I personally haven't seen a UFO. I've seen, you know, videos of them through work, and a lot of times it's just people taking a video of Venus or of, you know, some other planet or whatever. But yeah, I've seen videos of them, nothing with my own eyeballs. I've definitely met aliens in meditations. Like I mentioned earlier, the lizard type person that looked like Venom. So I've encountered the beings in an etheric space, but not in physical form. So yeah. I have seen lots of different types of orbs. I've been trying to watch my camera. I've had ribbons of like things floating down and then like take a different direction around me. But yeah, I've seen lots of different types of orbs and colors of orbs as well, like stuff that can't be dust or bugs or, yeah.
Yeah, or moisture, anything like that. Because of the patterns and stuff, it's when they propel and you see the little white bleep, 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 bleep.
Or you can see like spin, like there's like a pulsating spin to them, like a star.
Yes. Do you ever, other than bringing these things home with you?
Other than bringing that person home, that's it. But when Sarah and I did the Shelburne Hotel, she was telling the room that we were staying in, she said it was really busy. There was a man there who happened to be the former owner. There were like three kids. And I was taking pictures and I showed her this after. I'm not really... as far as when you look at orbs afterwards, you know, dust particles and all that. So I'm not 100%, you know, sold on all orbs, although I think there are. But that corner was full of orbs. Mm-hmm. And so when you put that together, you know, it has a little bit more credibility to it. So, yeah, I didn't see him when I was there. I've seen orbs in behind Sarah when we've had Zoom conferences before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she just had one go behind her. So how can they find you and what kinds of things can you offer to them?
Yeah, Thank you. My website is saragracewarrior.com, and that's for being an angel communicator and spirit warrior. And websites are selective on what you can pick right now. But my Facebook page is Sarah Grace Psychic Medium, and Instagram is Sarah Grace Warrior, same as my website.
Okay, real good.
As you say, I offer psychic mediumship readings. If you just want psychic or just mediumship, I can do one or the other. I'm certified in advanced IET, integrated energy therapy. That is channeling angels and archangels for healing sessions. I could tap into past lives during that and also heal your past lives. House clearings, blessings. I am ordained, state of Virginia. In order to touch people for doing Reiki, you have to be ordained. So I can marry you if that's what you need as well. And I'm also working actually with somebody from the Ghost Conference on doing some hypno-regression therapy sessions as well. So that's in the works.
It's Kevin, if they need to reach out to you, tell us everybody, what kind of services you may offer and go from there.
Thank you for reaching out and asking that. What I do is primarily ghost hunting. I could do it on my own with a couple of people, or you know, on special occasions. I'll work with Sarah, and we have a lot of stuff coming up this year at the end of the year, October, November, and I will show you this flyer.
Yep. Hold it right there. And we're looking at the ghosts of
Ilwaco. Yeah, it's a little fishing town right at the southwest corner of Washington, just above Astoria, Oregon.
Okay, that's a good, Astoria is a good point there. So just above that, right?
Yes. Yep. And then if you see the ghosts of Ilwaco, it's also got a web page down there. It's also a Facebook group. So if you do Ghosts of Ilwaco, you'll get a Facebook group. My Facebook group is called Phenom West. You can just put that in search, and you'll get some stories. We have some videos in there of different ghost hunts, and one of the biggest ones I've ever done. I used to work at the Cape Disappointment, and Cape Disappointment is part of the graveyard of the Pacific. A lot of shipwrecks out there, a lot of famous spirits in the spirit world. One is Mary. I used to clean the vacation homes, and they have a vacation home. They're actually the lighthouse keeper's house. There's a ghost in there that I had really good contact. She likes to give me a bad time. She likes to tease me, but she does show me she's there. I've got videos of that on my Facebook. And again, that's on Phenom West. And my sisters, which they have a lot of, they'll even have some ghost sense that we did with Sarah on there on my sister's site. And that's called, Undertaker Ghost Hunters. It's their place is right on the main drag, a tombstone. It's actually used to be the Undertaker's place, and back in the late 1800s. Really good information, a lot of history there. And here is one more. This is another thing that we plan to be doing.
The campfire ghost stories.
Yeah, I have a place out here. And have a lot of campfire spots, and we'll just sit around and tell stories and that. So, yeah, even with this ghost parade and that, we'll be doing ghost tours. We'll be working on that to just take around the different places that we're haunted. And we've already talked to like the people at Shelburne Hotel. They'd love to have us come in and have a little group there and sit, have tea or whatever, and tell ghost stories. And I can tell about our ghost hunt and stuff. It's just part of a little haunted tour. It's surprising how many haunted places are in this little area. Plus we'll do ghost tours out in the ocean. We'll go to different, this is further down the road, but we'll be going to different, there's 2,000 shipwrecks out in the Pacific Ocean here. And we'll be going around to the closer ones and just like like a history tour, maybe hook up with some spirits, who knows. But
thank you both so much for being on the show today.